Sometimes preaching in this Easter season is hard. It might seem counterintuitive. I mean, after all, the season of Easter is connected to the core of the faith, that God the Father raised Jesus, the Son, the Messiah, from death to life. Well, I was talking with some of my friends from seminary with the past couple weeks, and some of them felt under great pressure to be overly happy and light with their sermons. They knew that they needed to deal with Jesus' death because, well, resurrection doesn't make a whole lot of sense if we have divorced it from the death that preceded it. And we can't necessarily trust, they knew, that all the people were there on Good Friday or even on Palm Sunday to have heard the Passion story. And they felt that there was a lot of expectations, that the people didn't really want to be confronted with that death stuff on a day that is so joyful and light. You know, we can say the same thing for Christmas. I mean, to speak about light shining into the darkness without discussing what the darkness means, sometimes hard to preach in an atmosphere like that. And now, a week later, other realities have set in. Easter seems really far away. The tulips in our windows, the blooms have started to peel apart. The lilies have started to droop, dry up a little bit. The festive gold pyramids are back to a little more normal white. I know our kids' Easter baskets are a lot emptier, a lot less chocolate in there now than there was. We forget that Easter goes for 7 weeks. It is a festival that we claim is a week of weeks. 7 weeks. And we can barely manage to hold on to Christmas for 12 days. So how, in the midst of our short attention span, are we able to hold on to Easter, maintain our focus? I mean, other important things are going to come by. This afternoon, we're going to examine our confirmants as they get ready, prepare for their confirmation in a couple weeks. And right around that time, we're going to have graduations. And we're going to have Mother's Day. We're going to have Celebration Sunday. Then we're going to have school being out. Summer vacations have started. Beautiful weather, hopefully, will be here. And vacations will be on. And likely we'll still be at Easter. It's hard to stay focused. I mean, our society really does train us to sort of pick up and move on to the next best thing. We even have a name for it. Planned obsolescence, right? We build into our goods the reality that something new will come along or the old one will fail. And in fact, the old one then is built to fail so that we will move on to something new. A number of years back, I had a portable CD player that died after 2 years. It was only built to last 2 years. The screw drive that moved the optical lens throughout it would finally warp after 2 years of daily use. People want what's hot and fresh. Very rarely are they interested in the traditional or what is lasting. And even in the midst of the royal wedding, and yes, I did see some of it. I wanted to watch the liturgy, you know, that was the important part. But there were several fashion commentators who were disappointed in the dress because it was too traditional, too classic, not bold or daring enough from the likes of the dress's designer. They thought she could have done more. Another commentator was shocked that the Archbishop, Rowan Williams, prayed for the heritage of children upon them. Wondered if that was a message that they finally got married because Kate was ready to have children then. There's no hidden message. It's a standard part of the service. We do it here. We pray for the heritage of children upon people who are getting married. And that was an incredibly traditional, classic wedding liturgy. Didn't surprise me. Couldn't even believe it was an issue. Surrounded by a culture then that wants the new and lets anything not sparkling new fade off into obscurity, we might find a new reason to find speaking about Easter difficult. We heard the opening verse of the first Peter reading. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. By his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you who are being protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. We're not brought into the next new thing, but rather something living and imperishable, undefiled and unfailing. To speak of resurrection, we do have to mention death, not just Jesus's, his horribly gruesome death, but also the death of our own desires that seek the newest and equate new with best. And we also here have a bit of irony. In dying to the whim of the new, we are, as 1 Peter tells us, given a new birth. A new birth into a living hope. And one theologian has written, it says, no one becomes a son or daughter of God. No one has God truly as Father. No one can see the kingdom of God by virtue of natural birth. For that birth and subsequent life have been laid hold of by the powers of sin, death, and bondage to decay. We become children of God by God's own act of redemption and new creation, of delivering us from bondage and begetting us anew by the power of the Holy Spirit. The crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus are that act. In the cross, the powers that enslave are defeated. Through the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ, God's unconquerable power of life is unleashed upon the creature delivered from bondage to decay. The new birth is an act of God upon us. This new birth given to us is our union with Jesus in death and ultimately in resurrection. Today, we celebrate this new birth in the specific person of Naomi. Today, we bring her to the font to connect her with Jesus, crucified and resurrected. In the waters of baptism, she will be given a new birth by being united with Jesus in his death so that she may gain that imperishable inheritance. But what is that? What is that inheritance? Is it an actual thing? No, it's not a thing. The inheritance is more a person. Naomi's inheritance and the inheritance of all of us who are chosen by God in the waters of baptism is the imperishable, unfading, and undefiled life of God. Our inheritance is that we are given a share in this very God's life. And this life is not something that is inaccessible to us now. We lay hold of it, as Naomi's brother Vinny will. In his body and his blood, as he comes to us in that Holy Supper. The new life has begun to take root in us, so that we may die to the old ways of sin and death, and we might be God's people in the world. And then, when it is finally revealed, when Christ returns and we are raised and we live with God forever, we will find that this new life was never new. This new life is the constant and eternal love of God made known in Jesus. The resurrection signals that this new life is the life that God has desired to give us from all eternity. So we don't see anything new, but something unchanging which can only seem entirely new, as our lives are so corrupted now by the power of death and sin around us. Here is our living hope, that God's love for us has not changed, has not wavered, despite our seeking after other new and innovative gods which we believe might serve us better. The new life given to us in the resurrection, in the waters of baptism, in the sacrament at the altar, is the life that lasts and does not change. So God changes us, transforms us into the people he needs us to be, so that we might enjoy it eternally with him. Thanks be to God. Amen.